Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So now we see a change, and this change puts us in the midst of the disciples and Jesus. And it says, the day of the unleavened bread came when the Passover must be killed. So the lamb, the Passover, they're one. Jesus is our Passover, right? He dies, his blood shed. God sees us claiming the blood of Christ. Should have been our blood. Jesus shed his blood in our behalf. We put all of our hope in his blood as being a sufficient payment for our sins. And we get passed over. Death angel won't take us. The Bible says, even if you die, yet shall you live. And he that lives and believes in me will never die, because it's not even a moment where you're thinking, I'm dead, okay? Because God is on the throne of your heart if you know him. The Bible says the Passover must be killed. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go. And he told them to go and prepare the Passover. And they said, well, where? In verse 9. And verse 10, it says that he told them, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house wherein he entereth, and you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I may eat my Passover with the disciples? Now, it's very interesting because there's several movements here. You say, well, what's that all about? I mean, he's going in, he's going to meet a guy, he's got a jar of water, he's carrying. How does Jesus know that? Because Jesus has got a plan. Okay. It's like, okay, devil's got this little tiny plan. Jesus got a big plan. Jesus knows the man's going to be coming by right when. Now, you say, well, is all of this a miracle? I don't think all of it is. I think part of it is he already arranged with this good man of the house, and he said, I'm going to need that soon. You know, you just pay attention, keep your eyes open. And he probably knew it was going to be on Passover. Yeah, I'm going to need a place. So that was already there, but this whole thing about a man meeting him and having a jar of water and you follow him, that's Jesus knowing the end from the beginning. That's Jesus' plan big style. You see, the devil can't control people like Jesus can understand the circumstances. You know you've been there, right? Where just the right thing happened in just the right way. You showed up, they showed up, and it just turned into a soul-winning moment, and they got saved. You say, well, how did that happen? I remember years ago, my family and I were driving to Pennsylvania to visit our relatives over there, Linda's sister and them. Our car blew up. Middle of Pennsylvania. The engine blew up. I got three kids in the car. I got my wife. I got me. And I put it in neutral because I'm a little savvy with that. Everybody just kind of move back and forth. Let's keep it going. We literally rolled right into a rest area and parked. It was about a mile and a half down the road. This is Pennsylvania, mind you. There's some hills, but I got there a mile and a half down the road. And I'm all miffed, I'm worried, I'm frustrated. And I'm like, man, what happened? Because I'm not sure what happened. And I kind of snip at the guy that was the guy over the rest area. He cleaned it and the guy custodian of it all. Long story short, what ended up happening was I got everybody home. Brother-in-law came and got us and we got out there. And then I had to go back and get the car. When I got back, I said, man, I owe you an apology. You were trying to help and I was just trying to figure it out. I'm just a guy. I said, but I'm a Christian. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't mean to give you a little bit of grief. And it was just a little how you're like trying to figure it out and somebody's trying to weigh in. And he says, oh, no, I totally understand. So I gave him a track. Next thing you know, I'm in his back room in his office sharing Jesus with him. He was a World War II veteran who had done murder, he thought, because he had been in war. I showed him a verse that says, no murderer. I was just showing him about liars. I was trying to get him lost. And he says, oh, I've done that. What? I said, lie? He said, no, murder. I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of nowhere in the woods, and I got a murderer across from me, and we're in a room. But he was humble. And what ended up happening was he got saved because I could tell him, Jesus says, there's a time of war and a time of peace in Ecclesiastes. And he said, you know, God can forgive everything. And for how many years would that have been? Decades. He had this on his heart that he had murdered. Didn't know that the Bible says there's a time of war and there's a time of peace. And I showed him in Romans that he bears not the sword in vain. And, you know, that God's in all of that. And he can forgive you for all the things that have ever happened. All of them. And he got saved. What I'm saying is, why did my car blow up? Did you go back there with me in your mind? Why did my car blow up? There was a man in the middle of Pennsylvania, in the middle of the wilderness. Literally, it was nothing around there. And he got saved. Because God saw him down there pining with his wound. Listen, you and I are all supposed to be, that's my Christian thing, that's not my pastor thing. You and I are Christians, we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. Okay, can I give you that? God's got a greater plan. You're the plan, I'm the plan. Okay, we're the plan. It's not about us. Get off my lawn. Who's taking my freedom? You have no freedom. The Bible says if you're a free man, you're God's bondservant. Did you remember that? You're their bondservant to Him. If you're a slave, you're God's free man. Yeah, but you're not a slave yet. But you're God's slave if you're a free man. And most of us in this room are free men. Now, the Bible tells us that He called it all. Man's coming through. He's going to have a jar of water and you're going to follow Him. And you can see the disciples thinking, hey, how you doing? And they're walking along with a guy they've never met before. And it's just a man. And when he enters in the house, like, okay, he went in that house. What do you think we ought to do, dear John? I don't know, Peter, what do you think we ought to do? Well, we probably ought to talk to the good man. The house of despot, that's what it is. The head of the home in there. We ought to talk to him. As soon as they say, oh, yeah, Jesus and I, we arranged that. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. The right house, the right guy. These guys are getting what they needed all along the way. It's going to be a bad week, you know. Jesus is going to get crucified in a day or so. And all of a sudden, here they are, dealing with that. Right? Dealing with that. So this is going to help them through. God gives you what you need to get help through. But you've got to follow Him so you're involved and engaged in His plan. Verse 10 says, and He said unto them, where? He told them, and then in the Bible, in verse 11 says, the Master saith, where is this guest chamber? And verse 12 says, He will show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, they found as He had said unto them, and they made ready for the Passover. So God's got a bigger plan. There you see it, first of all. Verse 14 says, when the hour was come, He sat down with the 12 apostles with Him, and He said unto them, with great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, they don't want to hear the suffering thing. We don't ever want to hear the suffering thing. But we need to hear it because it's part of the Christian life many times. Suffering is part of it. You may recall in Philippians 1, I think it's verse 29, the Bible says, it has been granted unto you, Philippians, not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Now, that's not every church and that's not every era. You and I have lived in a pretty good era, good time. We haven't had people coming after us with swords and trying to kill us. We're not dead yet, okay? It might come. It might come. FEMA camps might be in our future. You don't know. There's a point where you just can't fight back if the world goes as sideways as it potentially could. And as it is going sideways in Australia and in Canada, they're starting to beat down people in Canada now. Going full-on Nazi now. They're beating people in the streets. There was a guy, even in America, was taken out of a school board meeting one day because he wouldn't sit down at the back. He was there. No, I just want to stand. I just want to sit. And evidently, the people up front thought they were going to be intimidated by him all the way in the back, standing. And the point is that it's coming. Nope. It says, with great desire I've desired. Why? Well, because Jesus has some things He wants to say. You always want to say some things. Wouldn't you like to have a few minutes with your family with lucidity and clarity and not a lot of pain so you could talk to them if you knew that your days were numbered? You want to tell them, man, I'm sorry. You know, I hope for you this. I'm so proud of you. I love you. The kind of stuff that, you know, you wish you'd have said a long time ago, right? We all like that. Well, Jesus said with great desire. He knows He's under the shadow of the cross. Every time He walked through the streets of those different cities over there in Israel, He would see crosses on the hillside. His was not the only cross that ever happened. There were hundreds of people were killed. Thousands probably of people were crucified. It was their part of their mastery of death. They had a mastery of death. And so what I'm saying to you is that Jesus knew every lash, every pain. He was God, so He knew it. He died the death of the cross 1,000 times. He knew. And here He is coming right up on it. Why would desire, great desire? In fact, the Greek word here is only used another place in a positive way. And that's when it says, he that desires the office of a pastor desires a good work. And it's epithumia. It's usually a negative term. It usually means something you lust after in a carnal way. Jesus says, with that kind of passion, I wanted to have this with you. I want to sit down with you. And He says it double time. He says, with great desire, I've desired to have this time with you before I suffer. You see, a pastor may not really want to be a pastor. He may be, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, don't, you know, take the oversight thereof willingly, not by constraint, you know, because there's sometimes but He says, do it. But there is something in you that makes you, when you're called pastor, you want to. You may not feel worthy. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was like that. That's normal. It should be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The things the Laodiceans don't know is you're wretched. Okay, you don't know that? So the Laodicean church age, they don't know they're wretched. They got it going on. They know everything. They can tell everybody what's up. No, no, 1,000 times no. It's not about the sound system. It's not about the singing. It's about Jesus. Amen? That's what it's about. We've gotten to a place where we lay it all off on God's blessing us because our coffers are full. Sometimes the Bible should be reiterated in our mind's eye. Woe be unto you when all people say good things about you. Because many times the church and the world collide. We're getting to that time. And I say to you with desire, with great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now, what you have to understand is in the Passover Seder, there are 4 cups. This is not the one that he transforms into the Lord's Supper. This is the first cup. When you look at the cups, they're based on Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. And in those 2 verses, what you have is a laying out of where the 4 cups come into the observation of the Passover. I'll read them for you and I'll articulate them. The Bible says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. So this first cup he gives to them is saying, I'm going to bring you out. Think about that. You guys divide this among you. Because they know this. They're Jewish, okay? They knew this from childhood. This means I will bring you out. The second cup is I will deliver you. The Bible says, I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rid you of their bondage. And that's I will deliver you. He says, I will redeem you also with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, the 10 plagues, i.e., okay? It's going to happen. And then the Bible says, and I will take you to me for a people. That's the cup of joy at the end. You're going to be my people. Okay, I'm going to be your God. We're going to have a great time. I said, I will be a God to you. You shall know that I am the Lord your God to bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. My point is, if you get the context, you begin to see what's going on here. He gave them a cup and they all were supposed, he's going to save us. He's going to save us. They don't even know they're not saved yet, as far as technically speaking, because Jesus hasn't died yet. They don't really know all the nuances. They're just along for the ride. And Jesus is going to telegraph some stuff to them this night. And what he says is, he says, for I say unto you, I won't drink any more of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God come. Kingdom of God come. When did the kingdom of God come? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 19 says, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body. Now he's transforming things. It's broken. His body's broken. It's a picture of the cross. We feast upon it in the Lord's Supper, which means we live upon his death. That's our nutrition. We know he died. If you ever get feeling like there's no hope, go back to the cross. Look at it again. That's why he says, this do in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. Not only to others, but to yourself, till he comes. Because why? Because he is coming. Okay? So all of that's sort of the thing that buoys us up for the journey. It's a long journey. And so he tells him, he says, this is my body, which is given. Here it says given. In other places it says broken for you. He says, this do in remembrance of me. Because we're so prone to forget. Verse 20, it says, likewise, he took the cup after supper. So we had before supper and after supper. This is the cup of joy. I will redeem you. You will be my people. I will be your God. This is a cup of joy. So he says, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now, you've read this before because of the Lord's Supper. It's a passage. If we do the Lord's Supper any amount of time, you're going to get to this one because you try not to always do the same passage. So here we have him telling us about the Lord's Supper. But don't miss what's going on here. He's got a greater plan. He just got a greater plan. We saw him getting the place together. It's all good. He also knows one of the guys sitting next to him is the betrayer. He knows who he is. He knows who he is. The funny thing is that sometimes we don't realize God knows who we are. We kind of think he doesn't see. He sees everything. You say, well, that's scary. That's because you're probably misbehaving. It's scary when you're misbehaving. But if you're not misbehaving or if you're trying to behave, God knows that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily. As we go, to the Word.